From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes this series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the final portion of a message entitled The End of the Beginning. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. It was far above the power of nature, and even contrary to its laws, that the aged Sarah should be honored with a son. And even so, it is beyond all ordinary rules that I, a poor, helpless, undone sinner, should find grace to bear about in my soul the indwelling Spirit of the Lord Jesus. I, who once despaired, as well I might, for my nature was as dry and withered and barren and accursed as a howling wilderness, even I have been made to bring forth fruit unto holiness. Well may my mouth be filled with joyous laughter, because of the singular, surprising grace which I have received of the Lord. For I have found Jesus, the promised seed, and He is mine forever. This day will I lift up psalms of triumph unto the Lord, who has remembered my low estate. For my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I would have all those that hear of my great deliverance from hell, and my most blessed visitation from on high, laugh for joy with me. I would surprise my family with my abundant peace. I would delight my friends with my ever-increasing happiness. I would edify the church with my grateful confessions, and even impress the world with the cheerfulness of my daily conversation. Bunyan tells us that Mercy laughed in her sleep, and no wonder when she dreamed of Jesus. My joy shall not stop short of hers, while my Beloved is the theme of my daily thoughts. The Lord Jesus is a deep sea of joy. My soul shall dive therein, shall be swallowed up in the delights of His society. Sarah looked on her Isaac, and laughed with excess of rapture, and all her friends laughed with her. And thou, my soul, look on thy Jesus, and bid heaven and earth unite in thy joy unspeakable.
Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, coming from the and reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love. like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. And pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you.
Thank you.
As he concludes this series in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns summarizes the teaching of this inspired record of the establishment and growth of the early church. Paul's words to the unbelieving Jews in verse 28 of chapter 28 proclaims the undoubted success of the gospel. "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." First, the church's message is, and must be, the salvation of God. No other message can bring sinners out of their sin and into eternal life in Christ. The scope of the gospel message is worldwide, as intimated by being sent unto the Gentiles. Here is the basis for global evangelism. Finally, Paul's words are a prophecy of the triumph of the gospel, for he states emphatically, "They will hear it." What a motivation for spreading the gospel near and far. Now, with the final portion of this message, the end of the beginning, here is Dr. Cairns.
But never forget, we're to go to the ends of the earth. We're to go to every kind and class. Preach the salvation of God. The salvation of God. And here's the success that we can be sure of. Now the Bible says this. This might contradict your notions of what is called eschatology and what's going to happen in the last days and all the rest of it. But just forget about your notions and listen carefully to what the Bible says. The Bible says they shall hear it. When I first paid attention to that particular part of the verse, it was a great thrill to my soul. Here's the promise. Here's the prophecy. They shall hear it. You know what Paul is doing here? He's prophesying the worldwide success of the preaching of the gospel. If words mean anything, that's what he's prophesying. The success of the gospel, wherever it's preached, to the ends of the earth. He says it will be sent to the Gentiles, and they shall hear it. That's success. Of course, you'll find that the Bible speaks again and again of this. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, you find a great multitude which no man can number out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation under heaven. And they are crying, "Salvation to our God and to the Lamb." So here's a multitude innumerable out of all the earth, and they're glorifying God because of His salvation. The Lord Jesus said, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 11, "Many shall come from the east, the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac in the kingdom of God." There's a multitude coming from every part of the earth. Paul says, they shall hear it. Thus we can preach and we can evangelize in the sure and certain hope that our God is the God of salvation, and that He will continue calling out a people for His name until all the body of Christ has been formed and every one of His people have been brought in. I want to give you something that is an amazing fact, but it's a fact nonetheless. And let's think of it. That wherever the gospel has been diligently taken, it has had a wide and a soul-saving reception. You think of that. Wherever it has been taken diligently, it has been received. Now that's not to say, of course, that every individual has received it. That would be untrue. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's not even to say that every time a missionary has gone out that the majority have received it. But I'm saying that God has always had a number according to the election of grace. And I'm saying this, that wherever there has been an extensive preaching of the salvation of God in the power of the Holy Ghost, there has been an extensive reception. What I'm saying, just to turn that around, is this: where there has not been any reception, it's because there has not been any preaching. Where there has been a little reception, it's because there has been little preaching, at least little preaching in the terms of the book of Acts. But where there has been extensive, diligent preaching by men in touch with God, then there has been an extensive reception of the message of salvation. You see, so often we excuse the lack of revival blessing today by the hardness of the times. These are the last days, and, well, you can't expect anything more. Never forget Spurgeon's dictum. He used to tell his preacher boys' class, when you preach, if you expect nothing, you'll be absolutely successful, for you'll get nothing. And you know it's true for the whole church. If you expect nothing, well, you'll never be disappointed, for you'll certainly get nothing. But I think that William Carey's words are just as true today as ever. We can attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. You see, our excuse doesn't really hold water. I was just reading an article in Canadian Revivalist of last year, which my colleague, the Reverend James McClellan, had gotten together. He'd been looking up some statistics, and give or take a percent or two, these round numbers will serve our purpose this morning. Just think of these. 90% of all the professing Christians in the world are English-speaking people. But English-speaking people only make up around 10% of the people of the world. So that you have 90% of the world, 90% of them, outside of this English-speaking block. And yet, only 6% of all the ordained preachers in the world minister to that 90%. Only 6 measly percent. Of every dollar that's raised in churches in America today, 4 cents are spent outside of the church in America. 4 cents. Now remember that those figures include professing Christians. You're talking about Romanists, and Unitarians, and apostates of various shades. So that when you get down to the real hard core of the truth here, you're talking about an infinitesimal contribution to world evangelization. And after all that, we have the audacity to say, well, these are hard days and you can't expect anything more. I want to tell you this morning what this verse teaches and what I believe with all my heart. That when this church and when any church and when any Christian will give up their vain excuses and get off the flowery bed of ease and say, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm willing to take your word, and I'm willing to go out with your word, and I'm willing to use your word, pray and preach continually, though it kills us. We do that. I'll tell you, God will give a reception of the message that will even far exceed the effort that has been put into it. The Holy Ghost has said, they will hear it. The devil's tactic always has been as it was in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said? You look at some of the sinners that run around Greenville. God says, preach to them and they will hear it. The devil says, will they hear it? Will they hear it? My friend, let's take God at his word. And starting in Jerusalem, through all the surrounding area, until God takes of our number and sends them to the uttermost ends of the earth, let's take God at his word. And let's say, Lord, you have said they will hear it. And by the grace of God, we take the gospel to them. This word then is sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. The gospel will ultimately triumph, of course. It's going to triumph in millennial fullness, but that's not what this text is talking about. As I pointed out, it holds out something which every generation of Christians, including this one, can strive and pray for. I trust that God will impress upon our hearts the potential for evangelism. It's in our day. And that God will give us no rest or peace of conscience until we see in our day and through our ministry the same Spirit and the same power backing home to men's hearts the same gospel with the same results as they had in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. This word of salvation is sent to the world. And the Bible says, they shall hear it. Will they hear it from you? If God's depending on you, will they hear it from you? Will there be a soul in Greenville this week hear the gospel from you? Will there be a friend who'll hear the word of life from you? Are there souls across the old sin-cursed earth today within a heartbeat of hell, and they'll hear the gospel from you? Let's not leave it to the church, to the person next door, to somebody else. Between you and your God, let the business be done today. May God lead us to the place where we can honestly say, Lord, they will hear it. By the grace of God, they'll hear it from me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee for the vision of success for the preaching of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, that though the majority of the world's population today has never heard of Jesus Christ, though the majority has never once had the gospel preached, yet, Lord, thou hast a people. We believe that in this day and age thou canst use them to blaze a trail for God in the power of the Holy Ghost, and to see God do great things in the salvation of multitudes. Lord, we think of those vast areas of the world given up to heathenism and wickedness. Lord, grant that thou wilt raise a testimony and a witness. Grant that, O Lord, thou wilt send men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And, O God, grant that we may truly be used of God to see a work done in our day comparable to the work which thou didst in the days of the apostles. Bless this city, so full of religion, and yet in so many cases so far from Christ. God, have mercy, and grant that thou wilt give this church a place of witness. Bless its radio ministry. Lord, grant that souls will be saved. Bless the visitation ministry each Tuesday evening. God, grant that many souls may be contacted with the gospel and gloriously won to Christ. Remember the families represented here. Lord, we pray that thou wilt unite our families in Christ. God, save them and make them witnesses for Christ. Grant that thou wilt give us a soul-winning ministry. Grant that every soul that's won will himself become a soul-winner. Lord, we believe if only thou wouldst awaken thy people and revive thy people to this great evangelistic crusade, that soon we would see such things as we have never dreamed possible before. We believe that God is able, for thou hast promised this word of salvation, this gospel of the salvation of God, shall be sent to the Gentiles, and they shall hear it. Hear us, Lord, we pray. Bless us as we separate one from another. Guide in the Sunday school meeting to follow. We ask in Jesus' name, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.